Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. We just love coming to you every day and talking to you about things that are dear to our heart, and that is educating young children and ministering to them, and old children too. Each one of us needs to know that God loves us so much. Today, the devotion is called Breathing of Whales and Elephants, and I take this out of Devotionals for Young Christians, Windows on God's World by Dr. James Tucker. There's usually so much material in here that you can make it last all week. Our verse is Psalms 150 and verse 6, chapter 150 and verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Ooh, another good text for my sermon on how important animals are. In spite of what you have heard, whales do not spout water from their nostrils, and elephants do not drink water through their trunks. Both of these animals would drown if water were taken into their breathing passages. When a whale prepares to dive, it fills its lungs with air and retains it while underwater. Then, when it surfaces, it expels the air, which by now has become warm and moist. The expelled air condenses on contact with the colder outside air, forming streams of vapor that resemble water and can be seen for quite a distance. Sometimes the whale blows just below the surface, shooting a considerable amount of water into the air. But this water does not come from the whale's nostrils. Although an elephant does not drink water through its trunk, it does suck water up into the trunk to squirt it into its mouth. It will also use its trunk as a hose for spraying, showering water over its body to cool and cleanse it. If an elephant in a zoo is teased by a human being, he may fill his trunk with water and squirt his tormentor full in the face. Water and air are absolutely necessary for the life of both the whale and the elephant. But as with other mammals, they cannot breathe and drink at the same time, and neither of them drinks through its nose, even though one of them uses its nose to get water to its mouth. Psalms 150 says, and you know, this is the closing hymn of the book of Psalms, the psalmist rises to a tremendous peak of praise, like the closing bars of a great symphony. In this, he poetically thinks of every living thing, all animals, as being able to praise God. And in their way, whales and elephants, birds and insects do just that. But we, to whom God has given intelligence far above any of these creatures, should, day by day, offer to him in heart and mind praise for the wonderful things he has given us and done for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you. We praise you for the ability to talk about you over the airwaves and through podcasts and all the different devices that we now can connect. We praise you for your wonderful gift. We praise you for the provision of saving every single person on earth. And Lord, we know that there are many Christians being persecuted for their faith. And we praise you for your sustaining power through that. You forecast it. We truly see the results of evil on the earth and the prince of lies, how his rule would be. We thank you for providing for us a way out. And we ask that you be with our show today, that our words will be your words. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. So I have had fun with this one in my Pinterest site, and that's MR Gamblin 2. If you go to Pinterest, you'll find me there, MR Gamblin 2. And I've put everything on the board called Windows on God's World. So everything has to do with nature and interesting things that God has created. Today I put a video of whale breathing and a video of elephant breathing because our devotion was about that. I also put two crafts. One is they're both paper plate crafts, and I encourage you always to have a nice stash of the non-coated paper plates that students can paint and cut on. And the whale craft is really cute because the mouth is open and you can hide little objects in the mouth. And so if you were telling the story of Jonah, you could put a little Jonah in the mouth. That's pretty clever. And the elephant one, I like it because you take one paper plate and you cut off some sections of that, of the little bumpy curve of the plate on both sides. So you now have the ears and you put those together to form a trunk. And of course, we always want to have the primary colors, temper colors, so that our kids learn how to mix colors, and gray and white, black and white make gray. And so you can give it a nice coat one day, and the next day you can add some eyes to it and put a little pink on the end of the trunk, and maybe a little pink on the end of the ears. You just can really... It's simple, so even your young children can do it, and your older children will have fun doing it too. I encourage painting both sides. I also encourage, instead of using a hot glue gun, I know that the example for the whale was a hot glue gun. You're not going to let your younger children use hot glue, but Elmer's or tacky glue works wonderful, but always have a nice big set of, we call them the clamps, but they're clothespins, and so the kids can glue their thing together, and the next day they can paint it and let it dry, and then the next day they can embellish it. You can have all kinds of beautiful elephants. I know in my area there is an elephant emporium, and they've taken elephant statues and painted them and bejeweled them. And if you have them do both sides, they're really cool to hang from the ceiling or hang in the window or hang on the porch where they kind of, the wind kind of blows them around. Display your kids' work. They'll love it. So whatever you do, have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Today we're going to talk about Freedom Homeschooling, and I encourage each one of you to go to their website, freedomhomeschooling.com. Again, I'll remind you that we get no money from any of the different homeschooling curriculums that we talk about. We just want to offer this information to you so you can make the best choice. And I know I won't get everything said in this little section, but freedomhomeschooling.com, when you go to that website, you will see advertisements all embedded throughout it. That's how they can offer all this stuff for free. So the first thing you might see is an IXL, which is the same company that does Rosetta Stone and all of that. And they want you to try for free, but that's not freedomhomeschooling.com. You want to go down a little bit further. And then when you go into the different subjects, and we'll talk about each subject or a couple of subjects each time this week and maybe next week. So the first subject is math. That's always a biggie. Even if you're unschooling, parents often like to include math. And then again, up comes the advertisements for and then what it is it's essentially a warehouse of all the different free things that they found. So freedomhomeschooling.com is a great resource. Check it out. Questions parents ask. So this question just, and that is, looking for a Christian-based unit study on dinosaurs. And it doesn't take much to make it into a STEM study. You just have to integrate technology, engineering. You don't have to do all of them at one time. You know, science, technology, engineering, and math. You don't have to do it all at one time. But, for example, when we go to draw our behemoth, which I will connect to the Bible's name for the Brontosaurus, we will measure how long the average fossil was, and that's how long our legs will be, and we'll measure how tall it was. And I'm sure the parking lot will have this gigantic creature by the time we get done drawing it. But Masterbooks has a paleontology class online with books, and Answers in Genesis has some good books. D is for Dinosaurs, great for little ones. Masterbooks, Gather Around, a lot of these faith-based homeschool curriculums do add a lot to this. And I think that you really fortify your children for a worldview, a creationist's worldview, if you take the time to dig into these units on dinosaurs. Well, guys, we're going to be interviewing Raleigh Sadler in the next half. It's about trafficking. He does the ministry Let My People Go, and we try to make all of our interviews so that anybody can listen to them. But it's such a dark, dark subject. We don't want your kids to be afraid. We know you take good care of them, and there's really no chance, as long as they're in your circle of safety, to ever be trafficked. And so, with that being said, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome. You know, you're going to love our guest today. Her name is Julie Lavender, and I thought I would just ask her questions and do an kind of an interactive bio, and then we'll get into her two books that I'm looking at specifically today, called 365 Ways to Love Your Child. Love that title, because for sure we want to always love our child, but we want to be able to show them how we love them. And then the other book is called Children's Bible Stories for Bedtime, to Grow in Faith and Love. And I love that too, because I think that in this digital age, we often get away from taking our time to have worship as a family. So welcome, Julie, to our show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
And to begin with, tell me a little bit about your own homeschooling experience.
Well, I was going to homeschool for 1 year. I am a former educator. I taught public school for a while. I have a master's degree in early childhood. My husband was in the military, and the base where we were living, when it came time for my son to start kindergarten, the year before even, I had not heard bad things about the school, but it was very overcrowded. It was really overcrowded, and I just didn't want to let my baby go. I just enjoyed so much time with him, but my husband was due to move after 1 year, and I thought, I'll just homeschool this 1 year, and then I'll put him in school the next year. 1 year was really all it took. We fell in love with homeschooling. I did pray about it every year. I was never one of those that just set out to homeschool their entire career. I prayed about it every year because I wanted to make sure it was God's will for me, what he wanted us to do. And we just absolutely fell in love with it. My husband moved every 2 or 3 years. So that was one of the few consistent things in our children's lives, was their education. And I just loved spending time with my kids. I was kind of selfish. I didn't really want to share them with a school teacher all day long.
You know, I agree with you. I think that the first parent that a child has is the best parent if they're designed to do it. You know, there are some parents that just can't do homeschooling.
That's right.
They don't see their way for it. They might have a child that they just, sometimes our children get on our nerves. And it's really nice to have another Christian teacher come and support us. So I don't want to be, you know, dogmatic, but I want to hear your successes, because I think parents are saying, well, she was an educator. She was educated. So, yeah, that's why she loved it. But tell me tell me some of the challenges that you had and some of the ways that you solved that challenge.
Well, to tell you the truth, that turned out to be a detriment to me. I think that helped me emotionally feel like I can do this. I went to school for this. I can do this. So it gave me the confidence I needed. However, I tried to bring school as the way I learned it home to my own home and teach the kids that way. And I realized, you know, because I was afraid to let them outside of the house before 3 o'clock. I was afraid somebody would turn us in for truancy. And I thought, my neighbors won't think I'm doing a good job if they're out playing even before 3 o'clock. And it took a little bit to remind myself, my goodness, I was only teaching one at the time and then two children. Naturally, I could finish before 3 in the afternoon. So I had to relearn a lot. I just tried to teach my kids at home the way I had been teaching at school, and I learned that's not what I wanted to do. So having an education degree was actually a deterrent to me.
Yes.
It really was.
You know, I have fallen in love with so many different philosophies, and one of the philosophies is school at home, where we try to replicate. The other philosophy is unschooling. And then parents who have had their children in a traditional school, bringing them home, they need to de-school them. Because unfortunately, a lot of this traditional schooling is very contrived. And so we have it very lock stock. And a child can just be getting into the subject. Finally, that teacher's created enough motivation that the child is actually curious about that subject, and then poof, okay, put that away. Now it's time to get
subject.
Out the next subject.
That's right.
So all of those things need to be unlearned, and we need to recognize that, you know, there's unschooling, there's de-schooling. Now there's another term called mutt schooling, where it's quite eclectic, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But the idea that God has wired our children to learn, and we actually are working against that wiring so many times by doing it in the way that we think we should. So I totally agree with you. Probably worked against you more than for you.
It did. And I had different friends that, like you mentioned, all those ways. Although mutt schooling is new for me. I have not heard that term. But I did have different friends that did it different ways. And I just always felt like I tried to encourage my friends, do it however it feels best for you. However God is leading you, whatever works best for your children. And then I had such dear friends who were either teachers or their children were in public school. And so I was very supportive of them as well. I've always, even though my children are adults now, I pray every day for educators because, mm-hmm. you know, God calls many of them to be teachers and to raise and through education and love on our children. And I just try to remember to pray for them as well. I think we have to decide, because I don't believe homeschooling is for everyone, for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to be as supportive and encouraging as we can be and prayerfully lift all families up as far as their teaching goes.
Let's talk a little bit about 365 ways to love your child. And I can see, you know, I still teach in a traditional school. I can see using this for me to help me love my students.
I hope you can. I hope it's not just for parents or grandparents, caregivers, anyone that loves children. It's just little simple ideas to be intentional. And I know we overuse that word a lot, but just to be intentional, to let kids know you love them. And it doesn't have to be monumental to be memorable. You know,
yes.
It can be just something very simple, but that we either put our phones down or we're not planning. My thing was, I was always either thinking, what's my next chore? When am I going to get the laundry done? What's for lunch? What's going to, and I, you know, just concentrate on the children, come up with some creative idea. I mean, something as silly as when my little one, when we lived at Camp Lejeune, to a walk to the mailbox, I would take him with me. And one day we might jump to the mailbox, and the next day we might skip to the mailbox. You know, just something to show your children, you are so important to me, and I want to do these fun things with you, and I like creating memories with you, memories that
yes.
we'll treasure for a lifetime.
Yes, yes, that's great. So in this book, one, when we're outside, how to show that you love this child when you're outside. And it's not just saying, I love you. It is creating those memories. It's encouraging curiosity. Oh, look, what's that? And pretty soon they're going, oh, look, here's the bug.
That's it. My husband is an entomologist by trade, a biologist. And so he did a great job, and then I tried to follow suit, of just sharing God's creations with them. Look at this beautiful tree. Look at this little tiny bug here, this ant that, you know, we might miss, except for my husband made sure he pointed that out to them. We lived in Washington State one time during the my husband's military time, and if it was not cloudy that day, we could see the mountain. And for the whole 2.5 years there, my children still tease me about, they'd say, we would get to the stop sign and they'd say, if it wasn't cloudy, Mom would say, oh, look at the mountain. Like it was the first time I was seeing that mountain. I never got tired of God's beauty. His creations just amaze me. Yes. So when we're outside is a great way to show.
Well, and I think that, you know, that really is God's first book before he wrote, you know, inspired the Bible. His book was nature, and Adam and Eve were to learn constantly through the Garden of Eden and all the wonderful creative things that he had provided for them.
I love that thought. That you was know? His first book. I yes. love it.
And I would think, you know, even now, flowers, yeah, we can eat some flowers. We can eat them. But the purpose really was aesthetic.
That's right.
And they're all different. And we are to appreciate the variety in human beings as well. There's just so many lessons. In fact, I have what I call the forest classroom, where we go. And sometimes we take our regular work there, but we go there and learn. It just happens. Now, when we're at home... So, yeah, homeschooler, the name's there. We're at home. How do we teach our child how much we love them in our home?
Well, and one of the things I like to do is involve my kids with the chores. You know, if we start them early, maybe they don't dislike them quite as much. I know they'll go through a teenage year where maybe they might not, but we involve them in there. And we would make a game out of matching the socks. Then we would match the socks and we would have to throw it to see if it could get in the basket. Help them, you know, be involved with the meal planning. I love to do really silly things with them. I wrote these... notes. I did it a lot. And it might be National Cheese Day. Well, I would take my cheese grater out of the drawer, put it on the table with this note that would say, I think you're great. And of course, I had to spell it G-R-A-T-E. And then, you know, then in that day in homeschooling, we probably talked about homonyms. But, you know, I love to write them little cheesy notes and just either give them a treat. Sometimes it might be National Aviation Day, and I would buy those really inexpensive, like balsa airplanes.
Yes.
And so I might give them those, and I say, your love makes me soar. And then after homeschooling, we would go outside and play with the planes. But within the home, I tried to make them know for sure that they were loved and treasured. And I also tried to remind them, you know, if I love you this big, then think how much God
yes.
loves you.
Well, this is a great note, a soaring note. To end this first part of our interview, I hope, listener, you'll come back for tomorrow as we unpack the other book, Children's Bible Stories for Bedtime. So please come back. Thank you for being with us. We just enjoy learning right along with you. I always say that I learn more from my students than they do from me. And the same with this radio show. I learn so much more, I'm sure, than you do. But I appreciate the fact that you hang in there with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.